If you have your Bibles, we're opening up to Titus chapter 3 this morning. Titus chapter 3. As I said, we're in Titus chapter 3. Titus is an epistle that was written by Paul to Titus, who was in Crete at that time. He was placed in authority over the churches there in Crete. And Titus is a book that, helps Titus to, that Paul wrote. It's a letter about apostolic counsels and exhortations with an emphasis on good works. Now, we all know that our works cannot get us into heaven. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday while we were out door knocking, and he was talking about how he's gone working through the 12 steps of recovery from drug addiction, and just all kinds of great things that he says he's been doing. That's an awesome thing. I applaud him for trying to do this. But he says step number two is the one I've got the problem with, and that's seeking a higher power. You know, there's no higher power than God. Amen. God is it. God created us. So I took a moment and we talked to him about Jesus. He says, I told him, you can know God right now. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is Lord and Savior, that Jesus is God, and that through him you can see God the Father and know God the Father. And unfortunately, he did not accept Jesus yesterday, but he said he may be here this morning, so I'm praying he does, so keep him in your prayers. But let's go to Titus. Let's see what Paul tells us to do as citizens of Christ. Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now let's look at that first verse real carefully, and we're going to continue on here in just a moment. Again, this is Paul. He sent a letter to Titus helping to instruct him on what he needs to let the churches there in Crete know. Because, you know, just like today, I hear it all the time. Times have changed. Absolutely. Times have changed. We're going through things now that they didn't do in ancient days. You want to bet? Sin in 2,000 years ago, sin in Noah's day, is the same sins that are being committed today. Fornication. Still fornication. Homosexuality. Is still homosexuality. It's an abomination, is what God's word says. Abortion back then is still murder. It's murder here. So we need to look at this from our aspect. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. We need to obey the laws that are put in front of us. Provided that they do not go against what God's laws say. Okay? If the law says you can commit murder, one country I know of actually insists that they regulate how many kids each family will have. And that's the great nation of China. All right? For some reason, the United States likes to look into other countries and try and do what they're doing. And I don't get it. We as a people try to do what the world wants us to do. We're a melting pot. So we have to cater to everybody else. No, we don't. This country was founded on the principles of God's word. This country was founded and ordained by God himself. So why are we giving in to the world? Some of God's churches here nowadays, you walk into them, and this is what saddens me. You walk into a church nowadays, and it's no different than walking into a concert. It's not the job of the church to entertain people. It is not the job of the pastor to tell you things that make you feel good. It's the job of the pastor and that church as the under-shepherd of Christ. It's their job to let you know what God expects of you. God has not changed. From day one to this day in 2021, God has never changed. And he's not going to change. So he says here, be in subject to principalities and powers. Obey the magistrates. If they put a speed limit out here on Lone Mountain Street out here that says 35 miles an hour, 35 miles an hour. Well, they give a grace period. That's interesting that word grace is used a lot in this world. It's 35. Driving a bus, one of the things that we have to follow, especially with city buses and school buses, it is federal law that we can go no faster than the posted speed limit, whether we have kids on board or not. We have to obey the posted speed limit. And I love it because that actually trickles into when I'm driving my car. If you put me in a caravan, say we go to camp and I'm driving one of those vehicles, I'm going to be in the rear. You guys are going to pass me because I'm going to do the speed limit, maybe five above, if that. See, I'm a sinner just like everybody else. I'm not perfect. I've caught myself going out to Chino Valley many times. Posted speed limit is 75. I've caught myself doing 90. Yeah, it's like, ooh, that's not good. If I get pulled over, I'm on a mission for God. And I'm sitting there, I'm breaking every law in the book. And I deserve, there's consequences to my actions. Obey magistrates to be ready to every good work. Let's look at that, to be ready. Flip over, if you will, to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 13 says, submit yourself to every ordinance for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. We are to submit ourselves unto those placed in authority over us. But now flip one page to the right, chapter 3. Understand, God has a reason for having Paul write this the way he did. Now, Peter added to this in his book, chapter 3, verse number 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. If you're traveling down that highway, and the posted speed limit is 65, and you're doing 65, no faster. Pretty soon, you're going to have people come up, and they're going to ride right on your rear end. And as soon as they get a clearing, they zoom out and zip around, and they tell you you're number one. Praise God for them, and then pray for them. Because they are flipping you off, they are cursing you out, but understand, when they're down the road and they're pulled over getting that ticket or possibly worse, you're driving through. God is blessing you for doing what you're supposed to do. You know, you say, Brother Bill, but that's real petty. God's not petty. You know what? God says do my will. Let's continue on. Verse number 2 in Titus chapter 3. And this one gets me. This one gets me. Verse number 2 says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. We need to humble ourselves. You see, today, there is such division in this country. I'm watching families divide over some of the garbage that's coming out of Washington, D.C. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm telling you. We need to stand for God against the principalities in this world. You see, in Ephesians 6, God reminds us that our fight is not with flesh and blood, but it's against the principalities and the forces of this dark world. And to do that battle, we need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to step back and say, God, I'm messing this up. I'm doing something so bad right now because I'm calling Mr. Biden in D.C. I'm calling him every name in the book, but yet I'm walking like a saint over here. People are watching you. You know, the Bible says God looks on the inside, man looks on the outward appearance. Here's the problem. I think a lot of people misunderstand. Yes, God is looking into our hearts. He's looking to make sure that we have Jesus Christ in there. If there's a problem in there, we need to allow God to look into our hearts and to cut away that stuff that's bad in there. Because for where the heart is, there your mind is also. But we also need to realize that the world at large is looking at us. Those unsaved people are looking at you, pointing fingers, saying, you're the Christian, you stand for God, but you're calling this man every name in the book. You know what? Like it or not, and I am not pro-Biden, please, by no means get that. I'm for the man of God that's in leadership. Biden is allowed to be there right now because of God. God has a purpose for him being there. God has a purpose for Nancy Pelosi to still be in Congress. If you ask my personal opinion, she needs to come out of it. This is not a political message, folks. This is about what God has to do in this country. Brother Bill, you sound angry. No, I'm not angry. I'm upset because our country, Christians in this country who are professing blood-bought, born-again children of God, are taking this, setting it on the shelf, letting it collect dust, and then standing there, judge not! Don't judge me! You don't know me! You're right. I don't know you. God knows you. And if you're truly a blood-bought, born-again child of God, you're going to pick this up, you're going to dust it off, shine it up real nice, and you're going to start putting your nose into the Word. And you need to get back to basics. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my names will humble themselves. Ooh, there's that word, humble. Why should I humble myself? He's not doing it. I hear a lot of that. Shall humble themselves and pray. Do you realize to humble means to get on your knees before God and say, God, I can't do this without you. I cannot live my life in victory unless I let you take my life and run with it. Folks, this is a discouraging time in our world. In history, we've never seen these things happen. I'm telling you, the divide in this country, it breaks my heart. As a veteran, it breaks my heart to see rights that we defended thrown away. and give it away. They're not being taken away. People are gladly handing their rights away. Understand, it's not about our rights. It's about putting God first. This country will come back to greatness only when people humble themselves and put God back where he needs to be. God needs to be back in the schools. God needs to be back in our families. He needs to be at the head of the house, not at the bottom, not as a second thought. Well, it's Sunday morning. It's 9:45. I got to get to church. All right, let's go. I have to go. Nah, you should be coming in here with, I can't wait to see what God has for me today. I can't wait to worship my Heavenly Father. I cannot wait to give thanks and praise to the man who hung on that cross and died for each and every one in this world that sits there and says, I don't need you. Because that's what they're saying. This young man I witnessed to last night, I'm not expecting him here. I hope he does come here, because God can change any man's heart. And I really pray that this man comes through this door and will hear the word of God again today. Because as I told him before he left, you're going to stand before Jesus one day. And that could be today, because you're not promised your next breath. And he's going to say, why didn't you accept me? And you're going to sit there and say, these people are going to say, well, no one told me. He can't say that now because I told him yesterday. You know, God put him there for a reason. God places people in front of us for a reason. We're to talk to them. If they're already brothers and sisters, praise God, we get to encourage one another. That's why we come here. I don't know about anybody else. I can only speak for myself. I come here to Sunday school at 9:45. I come here to church. I'm not angry. I come here because I need you guys. I need the encouragement. After 7 days or 6 days out in that world, we need that seventh day to rest. We need that seventh day to come and be fed. We need that seventh day to come and recharge our spiritual batteries so we can go back out into that world ready to honor God. Guys, this is my encouragement to you. This is my challenge to you today. As you're sitting here listening to Pastor, listening to Brother Richard, or any of the teachers out there for you kids in here, as you're listening, open up the doors of your mind and allow Jesus to put a thought in there. Then open up your heart and say, Jesus, I need you. Place in my heart that nugget of truth that you want me to have today. And then, Lord, let me take that nugget and let it grow and grow so that when I leave this service today, I can take that little bit of light and let it shine throughout this world. Because after all, it's all about the man that died on the cross. It's all about God coming to earth, paying our sin price, being put in the ground in that tomb, and raising 3 days later in victory over death. Because no other way to heaven. That's what it's all about, folks. And that's the encouragement that I'm praying that God will offer to you today and that you'll get it in there. Because that's how we make it every day, is through the grace of God.